You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come over to the site now, check out all the good stuff we have there. It's looking at now the Combine coming up here in 2019. We're up to that week. In the middle of the week, the prospects will start to arrive in Indianapolis, and the workouts will commence, and we'll get a closer look at all these guys and really know who's going to have the immediate impact here in the NFL, who's going to have the long-term feeling that is going to look good here and produce in the end for us in fantasy football. And that's why we'll focus on the skill positions for our purposes. We know there's a lot of good edge rushers and defensive linemen that can disrupt the league here coming up, and that's where the strength of this draft is. And then we know quarterback, there's been some talk about how strong the class is. Same thing with running back, wide receiver, and tight end. But overall, we know that you can't ignore people. I think a good example is a couple draft classes ago, you had Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes, and we know all of them, even though they didn't sound great at the time, they've all become super fantasy relevant at different levels. Mahomes, we know what he's done as the MVP, but Trubisky and Watson have also been very viable fantasy assets here as young quarterbacks, and we saw with Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, they also have to be paid attention to, even if they're on the bench at first, and everyone says they're going to be sitting behind a veteran, they're eventually going to get their shot. So we're going to look at the quarterback class. I have the big board up. It's looking at the top quarterbacks. I have a few there in my top 100. I have seven, and the seven seems to be the guys that may get a shot here to compete. And then everyone else trying to find their place here in this draft, get a shot here on some team. And we have to start with Dwayne Haskins. And we've talked about his ability here. He really went on a big rise here in Ohio State season, took over, just kind of dominated. Their defensive struggles, in fact, helped spotlight Haskins here because he was throwing the ball like nuts around the park. He looked very good doing so. So it was fantastic for him to get going in that Ohio State offense. And it shows that you just need a shot and show off the big arm. And we know that to some degree, Cardale Jones had similar success. Of course, Cardale Jones was kind of a playoff star there and helped them win a championship. Haskins didn't quite do that because the defense wasn't as supportive here, but some big games, hung in the pocket, just massive player with a big arm. Here's 6'3", around 220, typical prototype size. He's not much of a runner. He wants to sit back in the pocket, move around a little bit, and throw downfield. There's a few Jameis Winston comparisons in that sense. But to me, he's a little bit of a throwback quarterback, old school. And I think it's wrong, and some people have labeled him as an athlete runner. That's not what he's going to be mainly doing in the NFL. He can move around a little bit, but mainly he is a bigger passer that's going to throw downfield and wants to hang in there, be tough, and throw. And Haskins, just a couple years experience there, but I think the pro style and his skill set are really lining up well here for him to have immediate success. And I think we look at the Giants, we don't know what they're going to do. They look like they're committed to Eli Manning. This seems a lot like the Joe Flacco situation from last year ahead of a Lamar Jackson or a Tyrod Taylor ahead of Baker Mayfield. We know that there are diminishing returns from that said quarterback, and it's hard to totally believe that they're going to just keep Eli Manning and keep whoever they draft here, likely whether it's first round or later on the bench here. So Haskins, I think if your team that's drafting him, whether it's Jacksonville or Miami or Washington or the Giants, so you have to look at him as a guy that's starting immediately for you. I think the only case, maybe not, would be Denver because of Joe Flacco going there. But We know when teams sell the stopgap thing, it doesn't always work. They want to get guys on the field, and Haskins is certainly one of those guys. And I think you look at him, I think this could be a big-time fantasy producer for many years to come. We saw Jameis Winston last year, a bit of a struggle, but hung in there. If he has the right weapons, he was a fantasy-relevant quarterback in most games where he wasn't benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I see Haskins, if he gets the keys to an exciting offense, especially the Giants, when he gets Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard, Haskins is going to put up numbers in maybe sooner rather than later. Now, Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, I think they're very similar to me. You have Daniel Jones is very big, 6'5", 220. Drew Lock is 6'4", 225. I think both these guys can move around quite a bit. They're kind of what people are looking for in the modern quarterback. Daniel Jones learned from David Cutcliffe there, his coach at Duke, who was Eli Manning's quarterback coach and Peyton Manning's offense coordinator. So a lot of connections there to the Mannings. Tough guy, tough as nails, is going to hang in there and throw it around. So he has a little bit of Trubisky in him. I think Trubisky is a better athlete overall. Jones is pretty much a move-around pocket guy, but they're all kind of similar here, Haskins, Locke, and Jones. I think Locke is kind of that old-school guy. He's played all 4 years, kind of hangs in there. We thought that John Elway and the Broncos would like him, and they still could take him behind Joe Flacco because Flacco is not going to be a long-term solution there in Denver. So you look at Locke and Jones, this is going to be a good debate as we go into the draft. This combine will help maybe settle it a little bit. A lot of people like Locke because he kind of checks the boxes a little bit more. Jones, I think they like for the mental and physical toughness that he has there. Locke might be the better, like, pure skill talent, but Jones might have everything put together a little bit better there with his head and toughness and all the intangibles that go with the position, and really kind of elevated their program a little bit when he was healthy. Did run into some injury problems there in his senior year or junior year, his last year at Duke. But overall, this kid is looking like a first-round pick as well as Locke. So it's going to be interesting. Maybe we'll get some separation between those two guys here in draft. So no matter how you break it down, it's Dwayne, Drew, and Daniel are my top three quarterbacks for sure. I don't know if that'll necessarily go in that order because of that one curveball, and we'll talk about him in a minute. But first, I got to tell you, Locked On Fantasy Football is easier than ever to listen to on the go. Make sure you're listening to us in the car because we're there, perfect 20-25 minute in window for you. For your morning commute or any time during the day you're driving around, get the insight, impactful analysis here of Locked On Fantasy Football and all the great shows here on the Locked On Network. And you'll be good to go wherever you go, and you're in great shape there listening to whatever topic sports that we've got you covered on with the Locked On Network. We're right back here to look at Kyler Murray, the most polarizing and intriguing quarterback prospect of the 2019 class. Okay, we mentioned a little bit of a Kyler Murray breakdown, and all eyes are going to be on this quarterback at the combine. I think Haskins, a little bit is what you see is what you get. Same thing with Locke and Jones, because they've played a lot of football at high programs with good coaches, but Murray, we know that Baker Mayfield was the guy last year at Oklahoma. So Murray, 1 year of starting, razzles, wins the Heisman Trophy, only 5'10", 195. That's well documented. We know that. But Kyler Murray, we know that from the shorter guys, it's pretty clear. Now, if the guy's special, like Drew Brees or Russell Wilson or Baker Mayfield, it's not going to matter as much the size in the NFL, because if they can play, they can play, and they can play better than some other guys would at that position. So Kyler Murray's dynamic. You get him on the field. I think the key is just to let him loose a little bit early. Now, is someone going to try to compartmentalize and turn him into a pocket passer? I bet they will at some point, but that's not really the way to go. You want to use Murray's athleticism, elusiveness. He also can throw the ball downfield very well, or he wouldn't be rising up boards. If he's just a small guy that could run around and hide from guys, he'd be a lot lesser quarterback prospect, but he can put the ball downfield. He can put it with accuracy. So there's a lot of things to like about Murray. Now, I would say if someone is closer to Mitchell Trubisky, I think it's Murray in a smaller package there. I think he has some of the elements of Trubisky and Watson there, and some Mahomes as well from the ability. So he's kind of a hybrid of all three of those quarterbacks from a couple draft classes ago. Now, there's a lot of debate. Is he worth a first-round pick? Is he worth a second-round pick? I have him number four modestly, but I think he could go second at the quarterback spot behind Haskins here easily. I have the Jaguars and Dolphins most interested in him because they've got coaches that can coordinate his abilities. Brian Flores there, the Dolphins, a defensive guy, but he also knows versatile players, Swiss Army knife players from his time with the Patriots. So that's going to help Murray if there's a chance to succeed there. And with the Jaguars, I think this is a team just looking for a spark, somebody that can light the offense, play off the running game well, that should be better with Leonard Fournette on the offensive line, and really do his damage. And Murray, I think we're going to be attracted to him a lot like Lamar Jackson last year because of the running immediately, that he's going to get a shot sooner rather than later if he goes to the right team, especially Jaguars or Dolphins, who may need immediate starters there, even with guys right now. They have a penciled in there that they're not happy with. So Murray, I really like the dynamic playmaking ability. I think that's something, it's innate, that you really can't take away, that he's just a wizard on the field. And that's a bit of the Patrick Mahomes appeal as well. But I think with Murray, I think initially there'll be more running than we've seen with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes can run. We saw him make something out of nothing in certain spots, but Murray could be more designed running, and that puts him more in the Trubisky, Jackson, Watson kind of area of potential early production there that can bridge the gap until he's ready to throw, and that gives him also the more immediate appeal than Locke and Jones, who could be sitting and could also be developing and are not going to give you that necessarily running threat there and have to land in good spots, especially if you're in Washington or Jacksonville or Miami. You're going to have to worry about the supporting cast, and it's going to be more of a dependent quarterback situation, and you need an independent quarterback who can produce, and I think Kyler Murray is certainly that guy. Now, we get to the next two. It's been a debate between Will Greer and Ryan Finley. Finley's got the prototypical size, 6'4", 212, but we know that's Mike Glennon's production school, so about that. Will Greer, 6'2", 223. Last time we talked about a quarterback from West Virginia that much was Geno Smith, and now he's settled in as a backup there in the NFL. But Will Greer just has a little bit of moxie to me. He played in the Big 12. The Big 12, again, with Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, there's something about those guys with a high volume that can throw. Mason Rudolph, you look at. The Steelers could be grooming him slowly as their quarterback of the future behind Ben Roethlisberger. So overall, you look at this team and where they are, and it's a good spot for West Virginia. And this Greer, I just see the high volume. He took over for more games, put up the numbers there. Finley, yeah, I saw him do some good things. There's a lot of pro-style things to like about him. He had a good receiving core as well. But I would say that Greer's where you go more here next. And Greer, I think there's a shot for him to have a good combine and maybe climb up the boards here. If it was in the same conference as Murray on the other side, put up some big numbers, we know. So Greer is the guy I like a little bit more because, again, I think it's that innate ability, big stage. He's kind of known to being in the spotlight. His transfer there from Florida was controversial. He's got a sibling, brother, who's already a big sensation there on social media that's more popular than him in a lot of circles. So Will Greer just has a little bit of star power, and I want that. And I don't think that's necessarily a thing you can overlook. You need some it factor and star power, and I think Will Greer has a lot more of that than Ryan Finley when you're looking at the next quarterbacks in that so-called space of six quarterbacks. And with Greer, again, the numbers have been there. He's played a lot. He transferred there from the Gators to the Mountaineers, found his home there in Dana Holgorsen's offense. I mean, you get Dana Holgorsen, he moved on to Houston from coaching the Mountaineers with Greer leaving. So Greer meant a lot to that program and kind of sent Holgorsen out on a high note there. Ryan Finley, again, good receiver like Kelvin Harmon, pretty decent offensive line. It just doesn't feel anything. I think he's a bit of a project here. I think I draft him, say, if you're the Raiders or someone like that. If you're going deciding between Greer and Finley and you don't want to necessarily take that top quarterback and you're going to keep Derek Carr and you're not going to target that with one of your three first-round picks, but more look at this position in the second round, I think Greer or Finley, and I wrote about that as well, what to do with Derek Carr and the Raiders, and I mentioned both these guys as maybe being that kind of semi-solution where you keep Carr on your roster given that the only way you really save cap money on him is by trading him. Otherwise, you have to keep him. So let him play and compete with these two guys, see what John Gruden can get. And if you remember that John Gruden saw Ryan Finley there at the Senior Bowl. He saw Drew Locke, all these players. So John Gruden's going to be all over some of these Raiders' potential quarterbacks here in the draft, just having that Senior Bowl experience coaching the North team and seeing the teams from the other side as well. So we'll pay attention to that and what Oakland might do there. Because Oakland, again, they have Jordy Nelson returning, Jared Cook, they have to see if they re-sign him as a free agent. That's a big question mark there. But overall, you know, I just see Derek Carr getting some competition this year if he's not dealt. If he's a dealt, that could obviously change the conversation. And you look at Locke, Jones, Murray, or even Haskins there in the first round. So that opens a lot of possibilities. So what you're looking at is when you start to connect the dots with these quarterbacks, see if they can land in a place where there's legitimately some chance to play right away and have success right away with a good supporting cast to produce. And so you have to look if the quarterback is shaking up, but you don't want it to be too shaky of a situation overall where the wide receivers, tight ends leave a lot to be desired there. So the Giants, again, particularly attractive there. And I think the Jaguars would come next just because they have the running game where the Fournette and some different diverse weapons, including Dede, Westbrook, Keelan Cole at wide receiver. Now, talking a lot about the draft, well, we're talking about the draft everywhere on this network at the Team by Team podcast on the Lockdown NFL Network, but you also have our Lockdown NFL flagship show with Matt Williamson, our draft network shows there, Lockdown NFL Draft, and our second draft show, the Draft Dudes podcast. So all kinds of good stuff on this network to consume the draft all this week, especially with the combine and throughout the pre-draft process as we get closer to April 27. So check out all those sister shows here on the network, and we will keep talking draft here as we get closer and closer. And from our perspective, we'll keep looking at it from fantasy football. I'll be right back here to break down the rest of the quarterbacks of note in this 2019 draft class. All right, let's look at the rest of the quarterbacks here. I have a personal favorite here coming up at number 7. He's Clayton Thorson, and I have him in the top 100 of their big board right at the end. Some people have him right outside the 100, but came off a torn ACL there and played there. Got banged up again in the bowl game, but two straight victories there for Northwestern. The big win against Utah. Last year, he got hurt in the Kentucky game. So you look at the prototypical thing, 6'4", 226. The size is there. Very tough as well coming back from that ACL. So a little bit of a Daniel Jones clone. In fact, they played a couple times in college. But I think Thorson might have more athletic ability overall than Jones. I think the arms and toughness are pretty close, but I think Jones might have the edge in arm, and that may be what the separation is. 6'4", 226, pretty good system there. Maybe a little bit more pro-style tutelage for Jones as well. So you're going to have to work with Thorson a bit. He's a project. He's not somebody you would start immediately on any team. I think he can go in there and compete with some young guys, but he's not the Trevor Siemian type in terms of just kind of limited there. I think Siemian did his best, but I think mentally and physically, Thorson's a little sharper and can move around a little bit and look more prototypical with his 6'4", 226-pound frame. So I really think Thorson is somebody you're going to watch, as well as Jared Stidham of Auburn. Another guy that I wouldn't mind looking at in the later rounds here. He's a guy that, again, had a bit of success. 6'3", 215, it's a running team, but they did have some wide receiver pop there. So Jared Stidham, you look at Brett Rippon, he, you know, from Boise State. He's got some really good genes here, with Mark Rippon being his father. So there's going to be that. Maybe there's a sentimental approach with the Washington Redskins, some team like that taking him. I mean, we've seen the Redskins do that. I'm surprised teams don't do that as much. The Robert Griffin III, Kirk Cousins 2012 draft, where take two guys at the same time and to see how it works out. And it turned out that Cousins had more value to the Redskins overall than Griffin. So maybe that's something to think about for these teams, especially a team like the Redskins, where Alex Smith is down. You don't really have an answer short term or long term. Maybe give yourself a competition there to see what happens. Gardner Minshew is a guy, 6'2", 220. A lot of these guys are all in the same range here. Did a lot of things. I don't think he had the greatest Senior Bowl week, so we'll see if he can rebound at the combine. Tyree Jackson, massive guy, 6'7", 245 from Buffalo. Buffalo getting a little bit of buzz with their offense here in the draft, so we'll see if Tyree Jackson grades out well at the combine. He could change a few more minds there to what he could do. You have Trace McSorley. The question about him is going to be the height. And height, and he just doesn't have the same dynamic ability as Kyler Murray, 6'0", 201. So I don't see him maybe being drafted at all here. I think he could be an undrafted free agent, if not a very late pick. Easton Stick, yep, that's his name, from North Dakota State. We know Carson Wentz went there, but Easton Stick is not nearly as big as Carson Wentz, 6'2", 221. So people got a better look at him in some of the All-Star games in the postseason here, but again, he's going to be a later look at. You have some other guys from the SEC that you look at, Jordan Tamu of Ole Miss, Kyle Shermer of Vanderbilt, and Nick Fitzgerald of Mississippi State. And then finally, Jake Browning, a guy that had an up-and-down career at Washington, a Heisman candidacy there in 2017, but then kind of fell apart there in 2018, kind of regressed a little bit, so I think, if anything, he's a back-end guy. Kyle Shermer, there is Pat Shermer, so maybe the Giants look at him late or something there that could happen, or bring him into camp. No pressure there. We know the Giants once there with Tom Coughlin had his son-in-law playing on the team, so there's all kinds of things related to that that we've seen in the Giants before. So Pat Shermer, Kyle Shermer, there could be that connection there, and bring him in as a back-end competitor to Eli Manning. So there you have it. There's a look at the quarterbacks here that I'm most interested in all across the board for the 2019 NFL Draft. Again, check out Sporting News for my big board. It'll be updated as we go through the combine. Mock draft as well is there. It'll change after the combine as well. So check all that out, and we'll have a lot more draft content to come here on this show as well. Tomorrow we'll look at the running back class and the guys that stand out there, and note that you could look at that position. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow.